Yeah, if you need a Bible, feel free to put your hands up. We need some Bibles. Oh, my goodness, they work in the ushers today. They need Bibles, fans, shawls, mint, gum. They just got their hands raised for everything. Luke 15, we're going to read that first parable, verses 1 through 7. We're going to add to the witness out of Luke 19. We're going to make it clear what Jesus' purpose is on earth. And then, because you have guys have given me some extra sermon time, we're also going to add Revelations 5, 11 through 13. And you guys can thank Miss Marcy for that. Extra preaching time. So Luke 15 and 1, Luke 19 and 9, Revelations 5 and 11. How we look? Everybody in good shape? If you have the Word of God, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. You may have a different translation, but follow along. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes, though, complained. And when they complained, they said this, "This man receives sinners and even eats with them." So he, being Jesus, spoke this parable to them. He said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends, neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.' And I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Amen? So that's our story this morning. And just like we have a mission, Christ had a mission, and that's in Luke 19 and 9. Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen. Now we're going to add to the witness again, Revelations 5, 11 through 13. John's vision of heaven. "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and all living creatures, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And even after that, I saw thousands upon thousands in heaven. And they all said together with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom.' They proclaimed that strength, honor, and glory and blessing were due to him. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them I heard saying, blessing, honor, glory, power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb of God forever and ever. Look, whoever's close to you, tell them that's the after party. And we all know, I know y'all don't want to admit that, you know, but we all know the real party is always the after party. And we're going to talk about that because it is party time. Now unto God, who alone sits on the throne in heaven, worthy be to the Lamb of God, honor, majesty, strength, power, all of it belongs to you, Christ Jesus. We celebrate your name. We celebrate your obedience to the Father. And we thank you for choosing us to be invited to the party up in heaven. Until we see your face on that great day, go with us, stand by us, fight for us, give us victory in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say amen, amen, and amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. As you all realize, this weekend begins the professional football season. Let all the football lovers say amen three times. Three times. Amen, amen, amen. And we were blessed as the host city of the Super Bowl champions. We've got to see our victors on Thursday, the kickoff game for the season with the Philadelphia Eagles against the Atlanta. And I don't know how they did it, but somehow they squeaked out a victory somehow they won. Thank God for that. And I was telling my dad, I'm glad they won, because wouldn't it have been a shame to have all of that hoopla on Thursday? They had all types of stuff going on Thursday. I mean, starting at like 12 o'clock, people were getting off work. People were having their pregame parties. They had something going on at the Link. They had something going on at Penn's Landing. They had something going on at City Hall. And all of it was to celebrate the Eagles for one victory. One victory. They won one game. Now, it happened to be the Super Bowl. But they were making all of this noise, all of this celebrating. They laid the banners down. But I was watching one news clip. I saw a couple down at Penn's Landing. They won tickets to this year's Super Bowl. They were giving out tickets, right? I didn't know what that. But if you were alive at all Thursday, you saw. I even had to go pick up my dad early. I said, Dad, we got to get out of Philly, because if we don't, all of this traffic's coming down 95, Blue Route, Expressway. They're coming over the bridges. It's just going to be a big log jam, and if you're not going to the game, you're going to get caught in all of that traffic. But all of it was to celebrate the Eagles had won one game. Right? How many got the sermon already? Can I drop the mic? I'll drop it if you say drop it. They had all of this hoopla, all of this partying, all of this celebration, all types of stuff going on for the victory of one game. Are you with me in the spirit? Okay. 15 minutes. Y'all got me on the clock. Now, but you got to be with me in the spirit, because you got the sermon already, right? Here we go. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders of the day, they all murmured and complained. And they said this, and they said it loud enough so Jesus could hear it. This man not only receives sinners, but he even has the audacity to eat with them. Jesus associated with all people, rich, poor, religious, sinners, those who were sick, those who were healthy, those that had political influence, those that had no representation. Jesus was common to all people. He did not exclude himself or his message from anyone. Are you with me? It's all about one victory, right? But in order to achieve that victory, Paul says, I have to become like whoever I'm with. If I'm with someone who is of low status, I take my robes off. If I am afforded the privilege to speak or meet with the Emperor of Rome, then I step my game up. And I'll become whatever is necessary to win one person to Jesus Christ. Ask your neighbor, say, I wonder where he got that from. He got it from Jesus. So here we go. Because Romans says what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Find someone to say we all need Jesus. Your barber needs Jesus. Your hairdresser needs Jesus. Your doctor needs Jesus. Your lawyer needs Jesus. I hope you don't have a case. Your accountant, what? Needs Jesus. The head football coach of the Little League team needs what? Needs Jesus. Am I right about it? Here we go, 3 and 4. So Jesus, seeing and hearing what's going on, spoke this parable to them. He said, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds him? The shepherds in the Middle Eastern part of the world were responsible for every sheep given over to their charge. If a landowner hired a shepherd and he would give them the sheep, That shepherd was responsible for their care, their feeding, and their protection. He was obligated to his master to see that none were lost, none were killed, and that none were injured. Touch your neighbor and say, that's the shepherd's job. Wherever the sheep went, the shepherd was always watching over. Because he knew that his life was on the line. If any of the sheep under his care were lost, killed, or injured. Now that's the shepherd in biblical times. Now we today, the year 2018, we too, though not in the Middle East, we too have a good shepherd. This is where I wish I had a real church. A real church would take this. They say, Pastor, I got it. You don't even got to fit. But John says, in sitting in council with Jesus, he heard Jesus say these words. He says, I am the good shepherd. And to prove that I'm the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I have a good shepherd, not a renegade or a missing in action shepherd. We do not have a shepherd that is asleep on the job, because the Bible says of our God that he neither sleeps nor slumbers, but he is ever watching and waiting, guarding and protecting his sheep. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm a sheep in his care. Yeah, that's the good shepherd. The good shepherd. Jesus goes on and he says this. Verse 5, he says, and when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders. He, the shepherd, who is out looking for the lost sheep, when he finds it, he lays him on his shoulders. This aspect of the parable expresses the shepherd's loving care and concern, not for the 99, but for the one lost sheep. We used to sing a song growing up, Lord, you help me make 100, because 99 and a half won't do. Yeah, some people would take 9. I don't know, on a good day, I would take 99 and a half, but the problem is, what if you're the half? I wish I had a real church. Frequently, sheep become lost. And when they become lost, they often are lost because they are weak and are unable to keep up with the rest of the flock. They've gone weak. They no longer have the strength to keep the pace with the rest of the flock. And oftentimes in Palestine, we know this from our study and from the book of maps your preacher friend gave me. I learned this. The area around Palestine was all what? Very hilly. Not only was it very hilly, but the rocks jutted out of the hillside. So it wasn't just nice and smooth. It was bumpy and rocky. And oftentimes, weak lambs, when they got away from the flock, they would get their hooves caught in the rock and therefore be prevented from going forward with the flock. Who wants to finish the sermon? I can't do any more than what I'm doing, Aaron. The lost sheep, he's not lost because he wants to be lost. He's lost because something has ensnared him and is now impeding his progress. That's why the Roman writer said, all have sinned and come short of the glory. It's not that we wanted to fall short. It's not that we wanted to sin. But a long life's journey, I got stuck. I heard the commercial. The old woman said, I've fallen. I wish I had my real church tie. They helped me. So the good shepherd, here's the whole sermon, three L's for you. First, the shepherd locates, lifts, and then lays the sheep on his own shoulders. Touch your neighbor and say, help the pastor this morning. He locates me because the shepherd knows when I am lost, the church may not know, my family may not know, but the Lord knows the way that I take. I can fool the folks on my job. I can even fool the folks at my church, but there's no fooling when it comes to the good shepherd. He knows my heart. He studies my mind, and he knows the way that I take. Thank God for the good shepherd. The shepherd goes and finds the sheep because the sheep can't find the shepherd. But when he finds him, look what the shepherd does. He lifts. You tell me, should I be preaching here or down the street? Y'all tell me, because your response is going to let me know if I got the right address. He locates
and then he lifts up the sheep up from the muck and the mire. Jesus, he lifted me when nothing else could help. Love, love, the good shepherd, he lifted. He lifts, he locates, and then he lays me across. I wish I had a real chair. This is where he lays me, across his very own shoulders. He died so that I might live. The good shepherd lays down his own life so the sheep, so the lamb can live again. Touch three people. Say, thank God for the good shepherd. Watch this. Verse 5. Found it. Lays it on his shoulder. But before we go to verse 6, notice what Jesus says. He inserts the word rejoicing. I wish I had my real church today. The sheep is lost. Now he's found. He's been located, lifting, and is now laying on Jesus. But before they return to the hundredfold flock, Jesus said, they began to rejoice. Touch your neighbor and say, I got joy. The shepherd is rejoicing because he's found the lost sheep. I wish I had a real church. The lost sheep is rejoicing because he has been saved from a certain death. Thank God for his amazing grace. How sweet is the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I have been found. I was lost. I was stuck. I was hurting. I was bleeding. But along came the good shepherd. Touch three people. Tell them, I got something to praise the Lord for. Give him a praise. Let me have it, y'all. Guys, The party can't start until the sheep which have been lost have first been located. Then they have to be lifted. And then they have to be laid in the arms of the Savior. That's why the Bible says all of heaven rejoices over one, not 100, not 99, but one. Such a neighbor takes only one. Watch this. To get the party started. Oh my goodness. When we used to rock out, the party didn't really jump until later in the evening, because later meant more people were finally in the house. But thank God, when God throws a party, he doesn't wait until the VIPs arrive. When God throws a party, he doesn't wait for the Pharisees and the scribes. All it takes is one. All God needs is one. All God wants is one. Somebody say yes. And there, on the rocky hillside of a Palestine mountain, the good shepherd and the sheep start the party. And they head back to the sheepfold. I got to finish. Here it is, verse 6. And when, you got to look at this. You got your own Bible, read it. I don't want you to say, oh, the pastor made this up. And when he comes, I wish I had a real church. When the good shepherd with the lost sheep comes home, where's home? Home, somebody got in front of me. I knew you had the message. That's good. That's good. Home is not the sheepfold. He takes the one, meets up with the sheepfold, and now takes them home, back where his master lives. And as he entered the sheep gates with the master watching, he begins to count them off one by one. The master says, I gave you 100 and you return 100. And I'm a little puzzled because the rumors were out. The gossip mill had already started working. They said the shepherd has lost a sheep. But the good shepherd says, no, that's not my story. Look at your neighbor and say, that's not my story either. My story is that I once was lost, but now. You guys should have shouted all over the church right there. Because how many of you realize that was my story? That was your story. There was a day There was a time, there was a season in my life where I didn't know Jesus. I didn't have a church home, and I was lost. No God on my side, no Savior in my life, but along came the Good Shepherd.
I gotta quit. Here it is. So when he gets home, the master hears the report. The master says, call for all the friends. Send out word to all of the neighbors. And let's come together and rejoice with me. For I have found my sheep which was lost. The party starts in the field. Then it moves to the house. Let me see if this works, Ty. This might be before you. There's nothing like a good old-fashioned house party up in here. You know how it is. When Friday night comes, I just got paid. Music bumping, and it's time. He's a capper, by the way. To get my thing on. The party starts at home, in your bedroom. I'm going to wear that tonight. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Bang. I'm about to turn this mother, because the party always starts out in the field, but the real party is always, always in the house. Touch three people, tell them it's a house party. It's a house. It's a house. It's a house party up in here. I found my sheep, which was lost. Verse 7, I'm finished. Jesus says, I say to all of you that in like manner, Jesus always used stuff we could relate to explain stuff we couldn't relate to. He said, so you understand it's a party now. It started in the field. Now it's moved to the house. Now watch this. Now the house moves. I wish I had a real check. He said, there will be more joy in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over the 99 just that need no repentance. Hey, hey, somebody text me the address to the house party. I just got my time back. Earlier in the week, I didn't think I was going to be able to make it. But something happened in my life over this past week. I didn't think, Dr. Mills, I was going to be invited to the house party. I didn't think I would be able to go to the house party. But something happened down in my soul. And I'm so glad. Come on, how many real preachers I got? I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
Jesus saved my soul. I didn't walk down the aisle on Sunday, but the word of God troubled me all day Monday. The word of God stayed on my case all day Tuesday. When Wednesday came, I couldn't help myself. I cried all the way to work. I cried all the way home. I cried all through my dinner till finally I threw my arms up and said, Lord, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? Lord, what do I have to do for you to find me? Lord, what do I have to do for you to lift me up? Turn my life around. And take me and lay me on your very own shoulders. Because I am weak, but thou strong. I'm weary. I'm worn. Look at my face. I'm sad. But I believe that I can find in you a resting place. All the sheep does, all the way back to the sheepfold, all the way back to the house, is rest on Jesus. He doesn't worry about eating. He doesn't worry about it's raining. He doesn't worry about what the terrain is, whether it's rocky, steep, or smooth. All he does is cast all of his cares on Jesus, because today and forevermore, I am in the arms of the Good Shepherd. So get out your cell phones. No, it's not a joke. It's a part of the sermon. When you get it out, I need you to text me the address for the house party. Because tonight, I'm on my way to the city of David. Tonight, I'm on my way to the house of the living God. I'm on my way to the house. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm on my way to the house. I've been invited by the Good Shepherd. You didn't invite me. You looked over me. You thought I wasn't important. But the Lord, He extended an invitation to the house party. Somebody say yes. Here it is. I'm finished. Here it is. I told you. The house moved. In the story, the house is the master's house, located probably somewhere in Galilee or Judea. But Jesus said, in like manner, there is a party. He said, in my Father's house, not the master's house, not your house, but in my Father's house, there will be a party just for you. Jesus told his disciples, he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, this is what I want you to realize, that I'm going back to my Father's house to prepare a place. Somebody say party. Just for you. I couldn't believe it. But the house party has got a new address. And it's now up in heaven, beyond the sky, where my Savior both bore and died. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to a party up in heaven. Somebody say yes. Yes. Yes again. Somebody give the Lord some kind of a praise. So, maybe they missed it. You just got invited to the after party. When someone gets saved, we party here in the earth. And God starts a party up in heaven. But it doesn't kick into overdrive until believers all over the world are gathered in the New Jerusalem. That's what John saw when he said, I saw 10,000 times 10,000, and they were rejoicing up in heaven in the Father's house. If you're on your way, not only to the party, that's next Sunday, but if you're on your way to the after party, stand on your feet and give the Lord some kind, any kind, some kind of a praise. It's the after party. It's the real party. Believers everywhere, united up into heaven. That's where we'll dance. That's where we'll sing. That's where we'll lay down our heavy burdens and party like it'll go on forever.